Thank you, ladies. What a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I'm like you, Pastor David. I see these young people serving the Lord, and it just puts a big smile on your face.
Amen.
Amen. It does. And, well, these young people serving the Lord, you can just tell that they're high character people. You can just tell. And I said, it doesn't mean that if you're not singing up here singing that you're not. Now, don't mistake what I just said. But it's good to see young people serve the Lord, high character people. Just good to see that. And I certainly, as your pastor, am not only appreciative of it, I benefit from it.
Amen.
It's a blessing to me. We've been studying, or started this morning, in the book of Haggai. And we talked a little bit about the importance of not being selfish. And it's something we have to fight. I don't know about you. Well, actually, I do know about you. You have to fight selfishness just like I have to fight selfishness. And that's what Haggai taught with the remnant that came out of Israel about. You have to remember, these folks came out, I mean, they were charged up. You know, they got there and they started working. And then they stopped. 15 years or so had elapsed. And they had left the work unfinished. And God sent Haggai, the prophet, to testify to them, to prophesy and tell them, basically, you need to get with the work of God. You need to finish what you started. God's not done yet. And what a great message for you and I in our day. God is not finished. God's not finished with you. Say, preacher, how will I know when God is finished with me? Oh, you'll know. You'll know, because you won't be hanging around here much longer. When God gets done with you, God takes you home. Amen. Say amen now. You'll know when God gets through with you. Well, how will I know, preacher? Yeah, you'll know, because you won't be hanging around here long when God gets through with you. And so if God's left you here, he's left you here for a purpose, and that means he wants to use you. Now, this is the message that Haggai had. Now, we're going to transition from a message. Remember, we said there were four of them. Four mini sermons, okay, if there's such a thing. Amen. Not for a Baptist preacher, but this prophet, he had four little short messages, quick, powerful, and to the point. And the first one brought conviction. I mean, it convicted the people. However, I want you to notice something. The dates, as you study, in particular the book of Haggai, the dates are very telling. Now, throughout the scripture, the dates are telling. But I believe in the book of Haggai, it may be one of the most prominent as far as purpose in recording the dates. Notice how chapter 1 ends. It ends with a date. Because God wanted to let us know that when he stirs in people's heart, it gets people moving. Watch this. Remember when we ended this morning, we ended with verse 13 in chapter 1. He said, I am with you. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. Chapter 1, verse 13, God said, I'm with you. He said, now you get back to work now. But you don't have to go in your own strength. I'm with you. What a wonderful promise. Whether you're driving a church bus, whether you're singing in the choir, whether you're an usher, whether you do the cleaning of the building, whatever you do for God, God said, I want you to know I'm with you. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. And then it says in verse 14, the Lord stirred up the spirit of those that were leading in this endeavor, even to the point in the latter part of verse number 14, it says, he stirred up the spirit in all the remnant of the people. In other words, everyone that chose to get up out of captivity and go back into the land and start this work. Now, it was not finished, and they had let it lie dormant for a while, and God began to stir in their hearts. And as God stirred in their heart, notice what the scripture says. The latter part of verse 14 says, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts their God. See, when God stirs you now, how will I know if it's God and not just emotion? Well, God will put you to work. Amen. God will put you to work doing something for his kingdom. Now, notice this. The Bible is just, it makes declarations with purpose. Notice the way it ends in verse 15. In the 4th and 20th day of the 6th month. Remember how it began? Go back to verse number 1 of chapter 1. So some 3 weeks later, 23 days if you're being exact, from September the 1st, you say, well, that's a 6-month Jewish calendar, from September the 1st to September the 23rd okay, or 24. 23 days later, the people said, it's time to go to work. So what was happening here? See, I think what we can learn from this is, I know what I can learn from it, is this. Not always when God stirs our heart, the next day are we going to jump back in and pick up where we left off. These people, they took God's word at face value. Remember what he said? Think about it. Don't just react. Think about it. Consider your ways. Think about this now. Don't just jump up and say, well, you know, we got to get back. No, God said, consider your ways. Think about it. Let God work in your heart. Let God navigate your moves. And then God will put you to work where he wants you to work, and he'll have you doing what he wants you to do. 23 days later, they were back at it. I think sometimes as preachers, Sunday school teachers, Christians in general, we think, well, I'm going to witness somebody today, and they'll get saved by sunset tonight. Well, not necessarily. It takes a little time when God's moving and working in people's heart. When God is stirring, it doesn't always come to fruition by the end of the day. Amen. Right? And so it's a good lesson for us to learn. Let God finish his work. Let God complete what he's doing, in whether it be in your life or in the life of someone that you are working with or dealing with. Then we get into chapter 2, and here's a second little mini sermon. From chapter 2, verse 1 to verse number 9, we have this second little mini sermon, and it's a few months later. It's in October 21st, or 520 B.C., if you do the math. So he said, in the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord to Haggai again. So he's going to start another little message, a powerful sermon that he's going to preach to them. And he spoke to them and to the residual residue of the people, saying in verse number 2, that remnant. And he's going to talk with them about something that's very important. And so I'm going to spend some time here. We may not even get beyond this. He said, I want to talk to you about God working in your midst. He said, I want to talk to the old-timers first. You're very important. Now, don't miss this. Those of you who's got a little age on you, say, well, yeah, I don't have a little age, so that means it doesn't apply to me. Oh, it does very much so. So please don't miss this, regardless of what age you are. But I'm going to address primarily, as Haggai did, the elderly. All right? Notice what he said. He said in verse number 3, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Now, that's his way of saying, who's old enough to remember when the first temple was erected and God was moving and the glory of God was settled in on that place? Who's old enough to remember that? He said, I want to address you. This is what he wants to teach us. We've got something we need to pass on to the next generation. And if we're not careful, we'll be a great discouragement to them instead of a great encouragement to them. Because the longer we live, the better the old days get. Somebody say amen with me. Right? So see, we tend to kind of block out a lot of the negative of way back when, and we compare everything that happened back then or with what's happening now with back then, and we say, well, you know, that was a good song that Sister Carrie Lydia, amen, yeah, Lydia, I was looking over here, Lydia sang, that was a good song they sang, but you should have heard, I heard, boy, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, so-and-so sang that song, and man, the house came down. That's a good message, but I heard a guy 45 years ago preach that message. That's a good service, but boy, I remember those services back in the 80s, boy, back in the 70s. Back when this evangelist was preaching, and back when this evangelist was preaching. Well, listen, what's God? Thank God for that. Don't misunderstand me. The past, it's not meant for us to go back and as an anchor to always be looking back to the past. God wants to use us to benefit the people that he has by us to lead them forward into the future. To let them know the same God that blessed us back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s will bless you in 2020. That's right. I said it. 2020. God will bless you in 2020, 2021, 2030, 2040, God will bless you. Well, now, preacher, it's not the same as it used to be. Well, that's not God's fault. God's the same. I said God's the same. Look at what he said here. He said, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And in a minute, he's going to tell them, he's going to say, you want to see what used to happen back then? Then get with it. You're still around? You want the power of God to fall? What were you doing back then that you're not doing now? Why did you stop? Hey, man. Well, you know, preacher, if these young people, hey, these young people hadn't seen the power of God like we've seen. It's us. It's us. It's easier to point to the younger generation. It's easier to point to that generation behind us and say, well, you know, if they'd do things differently. No, God said if you'd just kept doing what you were doing, they could see something going on in their time. Notice what he said here. Don't miss it. Because I've been guilty, and I fear that our generation has been guilty of always looking back and saying, well, you know, it was always better. The preaching was better back in that day. The singing was better back in that day. The services were better. God was bigger. God hasn't got any smaller. Amen. Somebody say amen with me. God hasn't got any smaller. God hasn't quit working. God hasn't quit moving. Well, preacher, we're living in the last days. Hey, can I tell you, that is a narcotic that has rocked many Christians to sleep. Prophecies never was given to be a narcotic. It's to be a tonic. It ought to fire us up. Jesus is coming back. That ought to fire us up, not put us to sleep. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you hear people preaching and you'll say, well, you know, that's it. I believe everything that preacher said. These are the last days. There's a great falling away. God's not moving. Hey, you didn't read that in this book. God is moving. God wants to do a lot of things. But he needs some vessels to get his work done. And so he said in verse number 3, who is left among you? He said, are they still some older folks alive that remembers back in the glory of the original temple, Solomon's temple? Do you remember the cloudy pillar, the presence of Almighty God? Do you remember that? Who's left? Look at what he said. He said, and how do you see it now? Huh? He said, is it now or not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? He said, it doesn't look like a whole lot compared to what it used to be as far as the way it looks. He said, this temple now, as far as looks, is not anywhere to be compared to Solomon's temple. He said, but don't let looks deceive you, because the same God that's going to reside in this temple resided in that temple. Same God. And he's getting ready to give that message to them and let them know God hasn't changed. A lot of things outwardly have changed. The world around us has changed. A lot of people have changed. But God hasn't changed. Independent Baptists have changed. But the God of Independent Baptists hasn't changed. Preachers have changed. But the God of the preachers hasn't changed. Christians have changed, but the God of Christians hasn't changed. That's the message. He said here, listen, you can't look at buildings and things that are bigger and are smaller and begin to think, well, you know, back then it was bigger. Now it's not. And so bigger is better. He said, not necessarily. Let's read on. Verse number 4. Yet now, be strong. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged, he's saying. Just because things are not like they used to be doesn't mean that God's not at work. See, I think that sometimes we want to see things that happened back years ago duplicated. God doesn't have to duplicate. God doesn't have to duplicate. God can give fresh manna. Fresh manna. And it'll be just as sweet and just as nourishing and just as good and powerful as when he gave it 50, 100, 500 years ago. And so we don't need God to duplicate. We just need God to show up and get involved in what we're doing. And so he says here, Yet now be strong. He says this three times. Look at it. Be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work. What's he saying? He's saying, don't give up. Stay in the work. Don't give up. Don't look around you and say, well, you know, it's not the way it used to be. Back in Solomon's temple, the glory had fallen. And my, what grand days those were. The young men shouted and the elder men wept. Man, what great days those were when God showed up. He said, hey, God's still with you. He goes on to say that twice. He said in verse number 4, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Now here's some promises that you and I can claim. Yes, they're Old Testament, but they're just as valid today as they were in 520 B.C. They're just as real and prominent and useful to you and I today as they were when God gave them right here. And I want you to write them down because they're for you. All right? They're for you. You say, preacher, do you believe that God can still work today as he did back in 520 B.C.? Not a doubt in my mind. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't preach. If I didn't believe that the God of Haggai was our God, what good would I be doing you standing up here preaching? By the way, I want to say something, Brother David, and anyone else that stands behind this pulpit. I'm glad you get nervous. I'm nervous right now. You say, you get nervous, preacher? Oh, yeah, I've been doing this for about 35 years. I still have butterflies. Like one old fellow said, I have just as many butterflies as you have. I've just kind of taught them to fly in formation. Hey, man ever gets, I have prayed and said, God, this is the sacred desk. This is a special place right here. This is not some cavalier, casual place. This is the place where God's man stands and delivers the unadulterated, pure word of God. The day that someone can stand up here and casually just kind of kick back like they're in their living room and deliver some message to you, some little sermonette. Hey, we're through. We're done. When you stand up behind here and you look out, you realize what a great responsibility. The God of heaven is looking down. We're going to give an account for what is done behind this desk. Whether it be a simple announcement or a proclaiming and a thundering out of the word of God. What's the promises here? Well, notice, first of all, he said, be strong. Here's an encouragement. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Be strong. You started the work. You've set it aside for some time. And now you've taken up the work again to move forward. And he's saying, be strong. The first thing he said, I want you to write this word down, presence. He said, for I, in verse number 4, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. God said, I'm going to be with you. Listen, this makes all the difference. I close this morning by saying this because he said it over in chapter 1. He said it in the verse number 13. He repeats it here in chapter 2 in verse number 4. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be strong. People say, well, you know, preacher, I'm going to serve God in my own feeble little way. You don't have to serve God that way. You can serve him in the power of his might. Amen. Amen. You ever heard somebody say, well, preacher, I'm just going to serve God in my feeble little way. Well, why are you doing that? Stop that. Serve him in the power of his might. Amen. God is powerful. He said, I'm with you. His presence is with you. God said, you don't have to do this alone. Take up the work. Do my work, but you don't have to do it alone. It's God's work. Do God's work in God's power. He said, I'm with you. What a great promise of his presence. And so he said, I want you to realize that I'm with you. Notice what he said. He repeated it in verse number 5. Look at the latter part of verse number 5. So my spirit remaineth among you. God hasn't gone anywhere. God hasn't gone anywhere. You know, if we listen to some people talk, and some of them are preachers, if you listen to the enemy, the devil, he'll try to have you think, well, God's not on the church anymore. God's always on the church. When God leaves the church, we're going with him. Amen? Amen. God's hand is always on the church. He's the head. You can't have the church without Jesus. He's the head of the body. And so when God leaves, when Jesus leaves, the body's going with him. And so we need to keep that in mind. He said in verse number 5, he said, "So my spirit remaineth among you." Let's keep that in mind. I think we think, well, if we're not excited and shouting, well, God's not with us. Well, God works in different ways. Sometimes God works in our sorrow. Sometimes God brings deep grief and conviction in our heart. Sometimes God brings great searching in our souls so that we will bear ourselves before the Lord so that God can do a cleansing and a work in our hearts that will draw us closer to Him. And then sometimes God, He takes us to the mountaintop, to the pinnacle, and He allows us to shout with joy and victory. Thank God for every season that God gives. But no matter what we're doing in God's work, He said, "You take comfort in this. My presence is with you." Do you sense His presence? Oh, listen, I'm beginning now more than ever to realize, I've told you that those scripture in Exodus 33, and that's what got me here. I was doing some running some parallel verses and just running some verses and searching out God's presence and God, and I came to this verse, "My spirit remaineth with you." It's almost as if He said, "You don't have to worry about doing this without me. I'm going to be with you." Brethren, there's a world around us that hates the church. They hate Christianity. They hate our God. But God remains with us. And God's not going to leave us to ourselves. We can do God's work in God's power with God's presence. And so claim that promise. The second thing that He said, notice if you would in verse number 5, "According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt." Now, I want you to write this word down, promises. That's what a covenant is. It's a promise. We've been talking about it in our Sunday school class. The unconditional promise of God. The promise. God said, "I'm keeping my word. I'm keeping my promise." Boy, I tell you, in times like these, we need to know that God is keeping His promise. God said, "I'm keeping my promise to you. I'm the same God. I haven't changed." Notice again what He said now. Fast forward many years. He had brought them out of Egypt. All right? And God said, "I want you to know, I'm still keeping my word. You know the word that I gave you as you were coming out of Egypt?" He said, "I'm still keeping my word." God has given us a word, brethren, and He's still keeping His word. God's not going to go back on His word. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that God keeps His promise. God keeps His promise. Same God. Hasn't changed. You can stand on the promises. Stand on the promises. Claim the promises. I told you, I think it was last week, maybe a couple of weeks ago, get you some promises out of God's word and begin to claim them and stand on them in the face of the enemy. Stand on the promises of God. When the devil comes against you and he tries to tear you down and he tries to turn you aside, just stand on the promises. Stand on the promises. That's where our hope is. That's where our strength is. So presence. He said, "I am with you." He said, "Be strong." So I'm going to be strong. Well, I hope it's not going to be in the energy of your flesh, because you're not going to stay strong long. Say, so you know anything about that, preacher? I know a lot about that. Okay? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Raise your hand again. I want these young people to see this. Young people, I want you to watch now. Please look around you. Many of the people that are raising their hand are adults. Young people, you can't serve God in the energy of the flesh now. You can put on a little front for so long, but after a while, the energy of the flesh will fail you. And you will find yourself in a bad way. And playing church is not going to get you through the hard places in life. It's going to take the power and grace of Almighty God. Please hear me. That's the only thing that's going to get you through these old trials in life. Just coming to church with mom and dad, and I'm glad you're here. Don't misunderstand me. Just going through some type of ceremonial ritual, that's not going to get you through some hard places in life. And so he said here, the latter part of verse number 4, he said, "Be strong" in verse 4. Three times, "Be strong." I have it highlighted in my Bible. Verse number 4, be strong, be strong, be strong. Why? He said, for I am with you. You can take comfort in that. You can be strong in knowing that God is with you. Number 2, that's presence. Number 2, promises. Claim God's promises. He said in verse number 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you, watch this now, when you came out of Egypt. Amen. The same God that gave you promises many years ago, you can claim those promises now. You can claim them. Same God, same promises, hasn't changed. Not going to either. And then notice what he said here in verse number 6. And I'll mention this, and this will be where we close for today. I don't want you to miss this. He said in verse number 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with the glory, saith the Lord of hosts. What is he getting at here? God said, I've shaken, and I'm going to shake again. I want you to turn over just for a moment to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. The apostle quotes from this section of Scripture, and I want to talk to you finally about the power of God. We talk about the presence of God. He said, I'm with you. The promises of God. He said, I've covenanted some things with you. When I brought you out of Egypt, I gave you my word. Then he said, I've shaken some things. God said, I'm able to do some things that you're not able to do. Glad day in my life when I realized, and this is going to sound, it's going to sound very elementary, but brethren, I'm telling you, it's a good day in your life when you realize God is God and you are not. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean that a lot of people, they would not tell you, they're their own God. They make their own decisions. They call their own shot. They do their own things. They're their own God. They're the God of their own life. Glad day in my life when I realized God is God and I am not. I'm just one of his servants and I want to serve him with my life. I yield myself to his control. Notice in chapter 12 of Hebrews, we'll begin our reading in verse number 25. He's talking about in verse 24, Abel speaking. And then he says in verse number 25, see that ye refuse not him. I'm in Hebrews 12, verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, now here he's getting ready to quote what I just read from you out of Haggai chapter 2. Yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So when we go back, now the apostle has shed a little New Testament light on a concealed truth of the Old Testament. And he's saying what God is saying is that one day he's going to shake some things up. See, when God spoke on the Mount Sinai, the earth trembled. It shook. He said, one day God is going to shake some things up again. And he said, don't you put your trust, don't pin your hopes, don't pin your future, don't pin your hopes and trust and future on things that can be removed. Notice what he said here. Notice what he said in verse 27. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. God's going to take some things away someday. I want you to understand this. So don't get so attached to this world that you put God's work out of your mind and it's not in its right place and priority. See, in this life and in the life to come, when we put God's work in its rightful place, we will be so glad we did. That's the message. It goes back to this morning where the people had forgotten God's work. They let 15 years pass, and then God sent Haggai to them and said, hey, God's plan, God's business, God's work. That's why God left you here. That's why God brought you here. That's why you came out of captivity. That's what you were excited about. Get to work. That's where peace is. That's where joy is. That's where tranquility is. That's where it's at. Get to work for God. Don't try to go through life without God. You can go through life without God, but you'll miss it. You'll miss it. One day God is going to shake all of this up. And everything that you've invested your life and your time and your resources in, it's just going to vanish away. That's what God said. That's what God said. He said, what you need to be doing is finding some things that's going to remain. Look what he said. Verse 27. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken. See, I'm afraid that there's a lot of people that all of their time and all of their efforts and all of their resources are in those things right there. That one day when God shakes, that all the things and all the time and all the effort and all the resources has been invested in these things, and these things are just going to be shaken and taken away, and you'll have nothing to show for your life. But he said this in the latter part of verse 27. As of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. See, I want to invest in the things that can't be shaken. Can I give you just a few? This old book right here cannot be shaken. Right here. Right here. This book right here. The Bible stands, brethren. Though the world may crumble, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You build your life on this book. You'll never be sorry if you'll build your life on the truth of this book right here. This is what you need to be invested in. This is what I need to be invested in. This is what I need to be hiding in my heart. This is what I need to be clinging to. Amen. This right here. Invest in this. This is never going to pass away. When God shakes everything away, this old book will still stand. Amen. Amen. That excites me. See, my name's written in heaven. Heaven's not ever going to be passed away. Amen. Now, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, but the abode of God, where you and I are going, it's not going to pass away, brethren. My name is written in a book that there's, listen, no matter how hard this old world shakes, my name cannot be shaken out of its place. I know my name is there. How about you? Amen. See, I want to pin my hopes, I want to pin my resources, my energy, and all that I do in life on that right there. That my name is written in heaven, and there is nothing that all the devils of hell can do. Amen. Nothing they can do. I have failed God. I have let Him down, but praise God, He's never let me down. My name has never been in jeopardy up there in heaven. Never, never, amen, has it been in jeopardy. Why? Because it remains. It remains. Eternity remains. Time will be shaken. One day time will be removed, but eternity will remain. And thank God I'll remain in that eternal day. I remain. See, things that cannot be shaken. The souls of men. We find ourselves investing in things that are frivolous, weak, temporal, material. God have mercy on us. We all do it. We all do it. God help us to look to the things that are eternal, to the things that remain. And Haggai said, I've got a message for you. He said, my message is that God said that He'll always be with you. You don't have to do this on your own. God said, I'll be with you. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. I'm so thankful to God that I don't have to do this thing called life on my own. I see these folks here with little babies. Well, I have to go back a little bit, but I remember those days. And it's a scary thought. It's a great responsibility that you've taken on. Amen. I'm so glad you don't have to go through them alone. I'm so glad that God hasn't asked you to be a parent on your own. A dad, a mom, a husband, a wife. God said, I'll be with you. I'll make you a better husband. I'll make you a better mom. Amen? You don't have to do it alone. I'm glad I don't have to stand up here and preach alone. Amen. I'm just glad I don't have to go through life alone. God said, I'll be with you. His presence. Number two, His promise. His promise. Stay in the book now. Claim the promises. He said, I've covenanted with you. I want to say this, and then I'll close with my final P there, okay, which is power. I've already mentioned it, but I'll just say a word about it and we'll close. On the promises, please listen to me. God hasn't failed of not one of them. Not one of them. Oh, the promises of God. How they've helped me. In my deepest sorrow. In the times of the shadows of my life, the promises of God have been true. The promises. I trust you know something about the promises. Latch hold of the promises of God and don't let them go. Don't let them go. Young people, learn what it is at an early age to begin to hide the promises of God in your heart. So in the times of toughness and sorrow and grief, hardship, you'll be able to latch hold of a promise that'll get you through a very difficult place in life. I'm telling you now, a little church attendance and owning a Bible, those are good things. Knowing a few Christians, that's not going to get you through the tough times. But oh, the promises and the presence of God will see you through. Please listen to your preacher tonight. Please. It's going to help you when those times come. And then the power of God. God said, I will shake. I will shake. God said, I'm going to turn the Gentile nations upside down, inside out. God said, I'm going to win. Now listen to me. You say, preacher, who do you think is going to win? I know who's going to win. I don't have to think. I have people ask me, who do you think is going to win the election? I don't know who's going to win that, but I know who's going to win. God's going to win. God's going to win. And He's going to come as King. And He's going to set up His kingdom right here on this earth. And oh my, will the glory of the latter be greater than the glory of the former? What did that mean? Let's stand to our feet. What does that mean, preacher? Haggai said that the glory of the latter would be greater than the glory of the former. Well, you may remember. In Luke chapter 2, there was a little baby born to a virgin. The angel had said, call his name Jesus. And when the time of her purification was come, that mother, Mary, and Joseph, her husband, took that little baby into the temple. No Simeon saw him, and he said, oh, mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. And he said, glory, the glory of thy people Israel is here. The glory of the Lord went into that temple. The one that we were just talking about. The glory of the Lord went in there. It did. When he was an infant. Some 12 years later, Joseph and Mary were traveling out of town. And they supposed that Jesus was in their midst, but he wasn't. And they began to look for him, but they could not find him. They looked among their acquaintances and kinsfolk, and they couldn't find him. They went to the temple. This temple. That Haggai said the glory of the latter will be greater than the glory of the former. You know what Joseph and Mary found when they got to the temple? The glory of God and their little son. Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, was confounding, astonishing the scribes and the doctors there in the temple. One other time that we know of, he went to the temple. When he was a grown man, he went as an infant, he went as a boy, and he went as a man. When he went as a man, it didn't work out too good for those that were there, did it? Matthew 21 says that he went in and he overturned the tables of the money changers. The glory of the Lord. Wouldn't it be something if the glory of the Lord filled this temple? Wouldn't it be something? I'm going to ask the pianist to come. Wouldn't it be something if word got out that Jesus was down at the temple at Fellowship Baptist Church? I think sometimes, and listen, I'm glad that people love preachers and singing. I'm glad for that. Don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say. But if God's ever going to do something with this work, it's not going to be because I'm a good preacher. What? Or these men are good preachers. We have good singing. You know what's going to get people? When the word gets out, Jesus, the glory of God, is down there at the end of Gate Road. Amen? You listening to me? This is real. When the word gets out, hey, have you heard? Jesus is meeting with those people. The glory of God is meeting down there at that building at Gate Road. You're talking about getting some people's attention. When it gets noised abroad that Jesus is in the house, people will come from all four corners. They will. That's what we need. We need the glory of the Lord in this temple. Let's bow our heads together. What would you give to see the glory of the Lord in the temple? Say, preacher, it can't happen. Well, no, that's not what Haggai the prophet told him. He said, oh yeah, it has happened in the former. It's going to happen in the latter. And he said, the Lord's going to be with you. He's made a covenant with you. And he has the power to fulfill it. What about it? While these are praying,